Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Wait, what would you say?
I said, there he is, Draymond.
Yeah, there he
is. I love a series with a good villain, man. You got to love a series with a good villain.
Yeah, I mean, the shenanigans that are inevitable to pop up are going to the narrative storylines of this are absolutely going to be much better than if it was the Grizzlies, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although.
Well, kind of. Yeah, I think so.
No. Yeah.
Really?
For sure. Because of Draymond.
I mean, yeah, but even with the Grizzlies, you got Dylan Brooks who played for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's too deep. John
Morant. Everybody loved talking about John Morant and the celebrations and the grenades and all that stuff.
Nah, man. You got the marquee power with these guys.
I see it.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of loved the Warriors a little bit, at least the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, love them, hate them, like they get a draw, which is why I was kind of surprised that they didn't end up. The Rockets Warriors game one did not end up as the ABC game in the middle of the day on Sunday, like 2:30.
Yeah,
but they decided to.
How many 8:30 games are the first two for sure, right?
We'll talk more about that when we get into what's popping because they've announced the first four games when it comes to what the schedule will look like. But yeah, we'll get you that here shortly. Let's go around the NFL. However, I forgot to mention this as we've been kind of going along. So, you know, when it comes to Thanksgiving, or I mean, we're coming up on Easter, but when it comes to like Thanksgiving, right? We know the NFL has that down on lock. Like Thanksgiving is a part of your routine is you're going to watch football starting at noon. Yeah. You know, you're going to see the Lions game. Of late, it's actually been relatively interesting. But in the past, it's like, all right, this is an opportunity to just put something on and maybe have in the background. You knew you were going to see the Cowboys play.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are things that you knew was going to happen. The Chiefs seemingly wanted to be in a similar place themselves as they had been lobbying the NFL to be able to do that, but for Christmas, as the NFL tries to move in and infringe upon the NBA's territory when it comes to Christmas games. In fact, we know
they already have.
They have. And they've already announced that next year they're going to have a three-game slate on Christmas. It feels like that is something that they are not going to relent on. But it looks like the NFL isn't likely to allow the Chiefs or anyone to permanently host Christmas games. Do you like this decision for the NFL? Would you like to see another team kind of establish that brand of being a particular, you know, Christmas Day staple?
I like it, and I absolutely would not want to see a Christmas Day staple. And the reason is it's all fun and games now that the Lions are good, but we went through decades. We went through decades of the Lions. We're like, oh, well, just put it on as background noise. I mean, you know, whatever it might be. And also it's a month later, even from Thanksgiving. So those, they want to put games that matter, you know, games that are significant.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
this, what was it? Week 17
yeah.
this past, like
yeah.
you're late in the schedule, assuming that they don't do any level
Imagine
of like
two win Chiefs, you know, in the future. Christmas.
Yeah, I think we got a little time for that.
Yeah, like, I don't think
Patrick Mahomes going nowhere.
What happened
right
to
now?
Patrick Mahomes that season is the question I have immediately.
But what I'm saying, it's possible. Like you know, the Lions are the best example.
Yeah, that is fair.
Yeah.
I think if we did have to pick one, it would have to be the Chiefs. because the red and Christmas and Patrick Mahomes.
You think we're doing all that? All that? It would just
snow.
Be,
if I had to pick one, I would pick the Chiefs.
And
Patrick Mahomes ain't going. He'll be here for a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, they volunteer for the NFL is not going to accept or is not prepared to accept that offer as of yet. That was courtesy of Mike North, who's the VP of Broadcasting Planning and Scheduling. So he said he's not sure that that's going to become a tradition quite the same way that Thanksgiving is. And it makes sense. Like the traditions that they've had for at least a number of 50s. Decades.
That's why the Lions are always
since the
playing.
50s or maybe it was the 60s, but way back.
Yeah. It's been a significant amount of time for those couple ones that they have. But yeah, at least we know that there will be football on Christmas. That's one thing that feels very evident. All right. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. Cam Ward obviously is set to go to and attend the NFL draft in Green Bay as it's happening. There's 17 players, in fact, that are set to attend the NFL draft, and the likes of but Jalen Milroe, Jaxson Dart, Travis Hunter was supposed to be there, Matthew Golden, but also like we're seeing more players that maybe aren't potential first rounders going as draft invitees are, you know, expanding to where they might invite guys day two, day three, just to kind of have folks of note there on the premises all 3 days.
They've done it in recent years. We've seen guys in the second round all of a sudden come down from the crowd and you're like, oh wow, he's there. I don't mind this. You know, you can't tell people how they celebrate, you know, a momentous occasion in their lives. And the only ones that are awkward are the biggest names, you know, and the ones expected to be in the top 10 or 15 that all of a sudden are there at 20, 26, 27. Like Shador would have been awkward, you know, had he kept
they would have had that camera on him every single time somebody get drafted.
And those are the ones that we all remember, but those are the guys that everybody projects in the top 10 or whatever. If you're a second round pick and you're there for 2 days, cool. Free food, free hotel, enjoying it how you want to. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that they're going this route because typically on day two, really more day three, is when you get into like all of the bits and, you know, having someone, you know,
announce the pick
from space or what have you, or we're going to have this monkey open up an envelope. Well, yeah,
we're live on a farm.
Wasn't there one on a beach last year from...
It was one in, I think, Mexico or something.
Maybe that was it.
Brother, like all that goes in one ear and out the other. Or like, I can't, I just don't
Debbie the
retain.
Texan did it once. Remember that?
Yeah. It's a few of them that did it. I think some are going to do it this year, too.
Yeah, so, I mean... I do think it'll be interesting to see how that is integrated with actually having dudes there that still go up and you know,
I think it's
shake
cool.
the commissioner's hand or shake whoever's hand.
It's cool, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm wondering about is like those, especially on like day three, those picks go fast. They move quick and they don't even stop for these commercials.
Up,
like,
shake my hand.
What happens if you get picked by one of these teams in a commercial?
Yeah. No, what they do when they come back from commercial, all right, these was the last
five
they
manipulate
picks.
It. Yeah.
And they're like, all right, he walked up there real quick and then we keep it moving. But I guess it wouldn't necessarily be about showing up per se. It really is more just about the opportunity to like be there and with all the environment, I guess. But yeah, the NFL looking to like have more guys out there. Like they're really pushing to continue to make the draft like a bigger and bigger event, which it speaks to just the power of the NFL to make anything palatable and sellable in a way that I just don't fully understand.
Isn't it the second biggest event that the NFL does, right?
After?
Well, the playoffs.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl playoffs, probably, right?
That's, unless I'm missing something,
I think the draft is, because they travel they kind of, you know, they're doing a tour now pretty much. So I think so.
Yeah.
Man.
They know how to do it, man.
They do. But yeah, it remains there. All right, we mentioned this yesterday, I believe. Jalen Ramsey. In this really weird spot, because as the draft approaches and relatively recently after signing an extension, it seems like him and the Dolphins have come to an agreement that they will seek a trade, which it's still just this very weird circumstance. Mm-hmm. He still plays at a pretty high level, but a big number on his contract. He just agreed to a 3-year, $72.3 million extension in September, made him the highest paid cornerback at that point. But And he played all 17 games last year. Mm-hmm. However, now you have to look for a place to send him. There's a few places that have kind of been put up as possibilities. I want to see what you think about these for the possibility of acquiring Jalen Ramsey. So the Atlanta Falcons, who don't have a lot of cap space, they would have to make some moves. However, you know, he played under Raheem Morris when they were in when they were both in LA with the Rams. Possibly add, you know, a talented player opposite AJ Terrell there. You interested in that for Jalen Ramsey?
I don't know about that. That seems like an awkward fit.
Or do you think that the Falcons are in a place where trading for Jalen Ramsey helps them?
Well, no. I think they're going to trade for Jalen Ramsey and he's going to fall off a cliff if that happens.
Okay, so you're in a place where you're just worried about what he still has in the tank.
Yes, and we mentioned it yesterday. I'm not saying he stinks. He doesn't. You know, he absolutely doesn't.
No, I think he's fine. I just don't think he's worth that contract.
Right. All right. So here are the other two teams that got put up, and one of them I'm very interested in. One is the Cincinnati Bengals. Right. Obviously, they retained Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, but they have had quite a talent drain defensively over the last couple of years. And you saw the production also drain along with that talent. This could be an opportunity to add that talent back. A weird one, though, because, I mean, some of the ideas you didn't want to pay these guys on defense, all of a sudden going in and acquiring a guy.
Was it Hendrickson and all that controversy?
Trey Hendrickson, we're still in a place.
There's some ongoing stuff going on.
Yeah, there's not really resolution there.
Sure, he'll really appreciate that if it happens.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then also the Detroit Lions comes up, you know, firmly within the Super Bowl window, so just adding another experienced player could be an interesting place. They did sign DJ Reed, cornerback, to play alongside Terry and Arnold and everything, but adding another cornerback, especially if you do have concerns about a level of slippage when it comes to play, that could be interesting. Any of those teams appeal to you?
Yeah, it's got to be the Lions, right? I would think the Lions would, you know, fit in there nicely with the veteran, because he is a really smart player. Like, you know, he's going to hang on just on that alone and some of the things that he's able to do in the secondary. But no, I think that would probably be the number one pick for me.
I'm still very interested in. Yeah, someone said the Lions. Too much money for Cincy, probably, but I kind of want to see it just because I keep thinking about the fact that they let Jesse Bates go.
Yeah.
And that's just one of a number of guys that they kind of allowed to leave. And it's just like, hey, man, if y'all are actually going to spend some money, which I should probably realize that I'm talking about the Brown family there in Cincinnati, and that's probably not something that they're actually going to commit to in a very real way.
Yeah.
But, man, if y'all want to do something to actually benefit this dude that you have there in Joe Burrow, the guys that you have signed to long-term extensions in Jamar Chase.
That would be it.
Like, give yourself an opportunity to contend. And that's why it's kind of been weird that they have not really taken care of Trey Hendrickson in a place in a way that would feel palatable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I keep looking at that. Although, how much did you see the surge that the Bengals made at the end of the season and say, all right, if you just get them healthy and playing good offensive football at the start,
a lot.
Everything else is fine?
No, they were a team that I don't think a lot of teams wanted to face. Earlier I gave them credit for actually wanting to spend money, but then they've sort of tamped that down a little bit. And now they're talking about, or it seems like they're talking about, Jalen Ramsey. I think they're seeing the light, so to speak. There is a window here, and if we don't do it now, when are we? You know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. From the 346, Dan Campbell with the personality of Jalen Ramsey, I'm guessing could be fun, but also could be bad. Yeah, that is fair. But I mean, look, that dude, I am always enamored by Dan Campbell, and I think I got to go back and double check the piece. There's a piece about like just his particular ethos and the way that he orchestrates this. It's kind of crazy how quickly he went from, oh, this dude looks like he's over his head with the biting kneecaps, and then like
all of a sudden
it seems so weird, his message, but it is so sincere that it lands. Right, it is this kind of wild kind of messaging, but it lands because it's so sincere. Those dudes seem to play for him and love him. Like, does that not seem like the right circumstance for a Jalen Ramsey that has not necessarily found a place to stick, bouncing from Jacksonville to L.A. to Miami?
The way I describe it is with Dan Campbell, because I was in that same place, like, oh, I don't know, is how do the players react and act toward him? They love him.
That dude,
they love him.
They go to the mat for that dude.
Yes.
But he would too.
Yes. And so there's like a show and a front with a lot of coaches. His is like, that's him. And they see it, and it's sincere. So I think Jalen Ramsey would thrive with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody said Ramsey seems like a Raider type player.
He looks like a Dan Campbell type player.
I mean, well, he's just good at football.
Yeah.
Like, very good at football is one of those. From the 832, if you bring Jalen Ramsey on a restriction contract, I'm not could he play safety? I don't know that you'd want to do any of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
In doing kind of mock drafts, I found myself at dinner, mind you, mm-hmm. sitting on a patio, eating jambalaya, doing mock drafts. That's the sicko that I was being yesterday. But I found myself like just looking and thinking about where, if I was to add to the secondary, what would I do? And she's like, there's so much talent here mm-hmm. already. Like, they've done such a good job on the top end.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't even justify thinking about where would you add a safety, a cornerback until I got to mm-hmm. mid rounds, like round four, round five, just because of how talented. It would honestly be, I think, to a point where you were misutilizing resources mm-hmm. at that point, allocating more resources to this defensive secondary. Don't you?
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I don't think it's anything that, especially the Texans, necessarily need. And it would be a luxury. It would be very much a luxury, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't think about
no.
Jalen Ramsey, not in the slightest. Before we go here, I see that you are trying to defend your take in any way possible. You're lashing out. Cameron Smith didn't make the cut at the Masters, and so real true Cam Smith, who mind you, finding a little bit of consistency at the plate, finding some better outfield play and right, playing right again today.
But wait, there's more.
We mentioned this mm-hmm. quickly, but apparently Dolphins general manager Chris Greer has been talking about second round cornerback Cam Smith. Who I don't know if this I don't know
another
if this
one.
A yes, third this, Cam Smith, third Cam Smith entered the chat.
Football Cam Smith, but I don't know what this does for his ranking on the Cam Smith.
Oh, he's third, right?
This is a quote from his general manager about him. We can't hold his hand and wait for him anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, he's been a special teams guy. He was a high pick, and he's been a special teams guy and injured a lot, and especially with Jalen Ramsey on the way out. That's calling out a dude. We can't hold his hand anymore.
Yes, I will.
Hold his hand anymore.
This is more of the quote in a segment I like to call reading. Quote: mm-hmm. Cam Smith needs to come through at the end of the day. He's got to stay healthy and be on the field. He has shown some flashes, but it's a very big year. He knows what's expected because we can't hold his hand and wait for him anymore.
So that makes not one, not two, three Cam Smiths that we have to keep up with.
I mean, we don't have to keep up with all. The only one that you really have to keep up with is number one in our hearts and in our programs, Cameron Smith, baseball Astro, right fielder.
Nick Caserio, please don't try to get this other Cam Smith.
Does it feel like the
Dolphins
try
to bring him in?
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, man. I feel like
he's a special teams ace.
I feel like Nick Caserio would do it on purpose.
He's depth a special piece? Teams ace.
Depth piece?
Yep.
Depth piece?
Oh, here we go.
Not right now. Like, we'll talk about that next offseason, I think, is where we probably are. Because this is obviously a big season for him in Miami. Does it feel like the Dolphins are about to
implode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, because they just have not been able to achieve
implode.
What they need
Mike
to.
Mike McDaniel, come on down, man. Be the OC here next year.
All right. Are you already sending a KB out here? Wait a minute.
Hey, now.
What are you trying to say?
My bad. I want a good offense, man.
I mean, I do too. But you know, you don't have to do just.
I mean, the offense gonna be so good this year.
Ah, see,
he gonna take offense. See,
you not saving. Oh, I wasn't. You know, I was using my third eye. You right.
Come
on, right.
That's what they call a glove save.
He's on a whole different level.
I'm playing chess over here.
Three dimensional chess.
A glove save
or four dimensional chess or whatever. Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into the anatomy of an NBA champion. What does it take to be an NBA champion, and what teams in these playoffs fit the mold, and also where do the Rockets fall in? 713-572-4610. That is what we will discuss next. All right, let's get into the anatomy of a champion. We are stepping into playoff basketball here in Houston, as we know that the Rockets will get going against the Golden State Warriors on Sunday, on Easter, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, guys' time, 9:30 Eastern if you decide to look at it that way. We'll break that down a little bit more. But now that we have at least, 14 set up that are definitely going to be in the playoffs, mm-hmm. obviously the 9-10 games are happening today, and then Thursday we'll have the matchup between the winners of those games and the losers of the games last night, and then we'll figure out what the fullness of it looks like. But for our purposes, we have, I think, nobody is looking at any of these lower-tier teams as potential NBA champions, right?
I just looked up on TV and says, can the Warriors win a championship?
Well, no, but they're in now, right? Of the other teams that we don't have locked
in the play-in?
No.
Nah.
Not at all.
Actually, yeah. You say that, and let me see if I can get back to Bet Online because Bet Online sent some odds, and I'm pretty sure that one, they have the Warriors beating the Rockets in this series. A 63% chance is what they say, but they also have the championship odds.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors 14-1 odds. That's the fifth best odds in the NBA. Rockets 40-1 odds.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the Warriors the better chance of winning the NBA title this year.
They get in now.
Yeah, but I think that some of that is because everybody. There's some things that you look at that you determine what makes a champion. And so, what is there in the anatomy of an NBA champion? I looked at this. Because there's over the last 20 years, there's some things that are commonalities
mm-hmm.
with NBA champions. And I wanted to look at those and juxtapose that with the playoff group that we have right now, obviously, especially with the Rockets. So first and foremost, the easy one,
mm-hmm.
do you have enough wins? Champions win a certain amount of games by and large, which mm-hmm. is the equivalent of 52 wins.
Yeah.
If you get 52 wins, you're in that prime territory where you play good enough brand of basketball. You've won enough games where
get hot.
You're in championship territory.
Yeah.
Would you happen to remember how many games the Houston Rockets won this season?
I believe it was 52, wasn't
52
it?
And 30. They are one of four teams to win at least 52 games this mm-hmm. season. Obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston Celtics, and the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to stop at that category alone, right? That's not the end all be all clearly, right? This is a different year it makes it a little tougher to use that game mark because, you know, the margins are thinner when there's a lot of teams contending and beating up on each other as we've seen. But if you were to use that mark, that's kind of wild to consider the teams that you're putting the Rockets in line with.
You're rubbing elbows, man. You're rubbing elbows. And those 52 wins don't lie because we all know, you know, some of the teams that they beat were significant.
Multiple times, including teams in there. You beat the Thunder multiple times. You beat the Cavaliers multiple times.
Yeah.
Like, this is not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I take it to the next thing, next commonality. You are top eight in point differential. Obviously, we know what point differential mm-hmm. is, how many score versus how many you give up. And the top eight are as follows. Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, Timberwolves, Rockets at fifth, Clippers, Grizzlies, Knicks.
The thing about that I would sort of put a qualifier on, last 20 games, you know, like last 15, 20 games, because teams like the Warriors are, I think, top five right now in point differential.
In the last 20.
What I looked up the other day was 15. So I think as of a couple of days ago, they were top five in the last 15 games. So that's kind of like who's getting healthy, who's getting hot.
Sure, and I think as we've gotten closer to the more modern era of basketball, we're seeing more injuries, more load management kind of shift the way that some of these mm-hmm. things happen and some of these things go. But I think over the larger stretch, and that's why we have multiple criteria to mm-hmm. see how many of these check. So for the first two, the Rockets are firmly in these spaces where you view them as an NBA champion contender. How about this? Winning records against winning teams. Mm-hmm. That seems like it goes without saying, right?
Yes.
Not only are you winning games, but you're not just beating up the bottom of the league. You're playing against the really best teams in the league. Thunder clearly there, 31-10. Boston clearly there, 24-13. Cleveland clearly there, 28-11. The Houston Rockets, 23-19
mm-hmm.
versus teams with a 500 or winning record, 500 or above. And the interesting thing about that is there was a nice stretch down later in the season, mm-hmm. right? February, March, where the Rockets did not have many victories, if at all, against those teams that had a 500 record. Now, they didn't have a lot of those teams to play against in that stretch.
A lot. Memphis was one of those early ones, I believe. They've actually gotten a lot better at that here down the stretch. And we kept talking about the final stretch, and they showed themselves quite well.
Lakers and Pacers also, interestingly, in there. Teams who don't come up to that, which I found to be interesting, the Timberwolves were 19-21 against teams of a high caliber. The Knicks were 15-23. I think the Knicks are just they might be overrated mm-hmm. or what have you, but I don't
fool's gold.
Fool's gold is
they haven't beat any of the top teams.
No.
Frauds, in fact.
they like 0-4.
Yeah.
Denver Nuggets 18-21.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where you look at.
They've been hot at the end of the year.
They've been playing
teams.
A little bit better,
yeah.
But, I mean, over the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
And they haven't had that many injuries that you can say, hey, this has been an issue. And then, interestingly enough, the Clippers, but they also, Kawhi missed a ton of games mm-hmm. during the season, so I do wonder if you write that off.
And we know what they've done.
All right, so here's a couple of them that feel very evident. Top 11 in defensive rating. Rockets has been a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 in opponent effective field goal percentage. So your opponent's not shooting the ball well. All that, just a very good defense is what you're looking at there, and that's obvious. Offensive rating. You want to be top 9 in offensive rating or top 16, because there's 17 of the 20 champions of the last 20 years were top 9, and then the other 3 were top 16.
Yeah.
The Rockets are 12th.
Yeah.
So this is where you start to lose a little steam on where they fall comparatively to championship level. And then I bring you top 6 in effective field goal percentage or top 16.
In what?
Effective field goal percentage. Your team's ability to score the basketball. The Rockets were 23rd.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. And so I think that
they were what?
23rd.
Okay.
And this is the thing that I think if you were looking at it, when it comes to the Rockets, what could hold them back is just, are they able to score enough points, especially when you get into where you're getting to the cream of the crop? Are you able to score not just enough points, but efficiently enough?
In this series, even.
This series is one of those, but I don't know that I'm that afraid of the defense that the Warriors bring, understanding that they have.
But the style of play is what I'm talking about.
That is fair. That is fair. But I think that your defense is good enough to stifle the Warriors to some degree, to where you're going to have interesting games. But there's teams that you could go up against that could get you up and down in a way where you go, are you able to score efficiently enough to stick with them?
Yeah.
And I think that becomes a question that you look at for the real championship level. I think early on you can manage to do this, and the Rockets have shown they can do this against high-level teams, be a team that maybe doesn't score as efficiently, but prides themselves on getting offensive rebounds and doing that, and getting extra buckets there. And then finally, every champion has had at least one All-Star, with 15 of the last 20 having more than one All-Star. And this, I think, speaks to one of the questions that we talked about all season long, which is, who are the guys that you lean on in big moments? And your one All-Star was Alperen Şengün.
Yeah. No, that is and they're also young, though. They have some All-Star talent. You can make the argument on some players, and so maybe that's a little bit recency bias in terms of how good the Rockets have gotten, you know, this year. Because, you know, next year they could easily have two All-Stars on the squad. I put together, and maybe we'll have to circle back on this, but I put together a similar list that is a little bit more abstract, but it definitely ties in with what you're doing. I put together a Sean Pendergast-like 7-point plan to winning a championship.
You want to do that at 1240?
Let's do it at 1240.
Okay. I want to get, because
the John Lopez / channeling Sean Pendergast 7-point plan to winning a championship.
All right. Because I went with the raw data, and the raw data says that this is a team that's on that cusp, right? And I think that, just to side with what B. Scott was talking about yesterday, we probably need to talk about them more in that place where, I mean, it really is a few teams that you look at that fit all of these categories, in the Thunder, in the Cavs, in the Celtics. But after that, like, the Rockets are basically hitting hitting all of those marks that you would typically view of a championship team. And all it takes is for them to prove that they are maybe a little bit ahead of schedule than what the typical perspective is. And it looks like they have been playing above that that level that you would look at a young team being at. They look kind of like that Thunder team of, what was that, 11, right? Or was that 12, in that same area, where that Thunder team with, you know, KD and Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka, where they played and they probably had a better opportunity than they took advantage of to win a championship. That feels like that's where this Rockets team is. And I just wanted to, like, with hard data, point to the fact that they are right there on the cusp. And it starts with beating the Warriors starting on Sunday.
And it might surprise you when I give you the more abstract look at things.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including get you ready for an early getaway game with the Astros versus the Cardinals. We'll do that next. All right. Let's get into what's popping here.
Got it.
I'm the worst, bro. Oh my god.
Now, to defend you a little bit.
Nah, don't defend him.
Nah, this intro do have a pause there, like a long, like a pregnant pause. Where you think you?
Oh my god!
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll get used to it.
You'll get it, Laramie.
That is terrible.
About week 10.
Hit me again.
Woo.
My. Yeah. That's bad. All right, let's see if
we good, man.
Let's see if we can hit a 3rd and 15 and dig ourselves out of that. Somebody said
1st and 15.
Are the Rockets the first 2 seed to be underdogs in the series? I'll have to look that up and see if I can find it. But they are indeed underdogs.
They're underdogs in game one and the series.
That's right. I think 1.5 point favorites are the Warriors in game one on Sunday, and then the Warriors per Bet Online -170 favorites. And of course, 63% favored or 63% chance that they win the series according to Bet Online. Where if you believe in this Rockets team, like I think I do, like I think we all do, and I imagine you do as well, that feels like an opportunity to make some money, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Plus 250, I believe.
I really do. Now it's still early. We'll maybe make our picks on Friday. But I really believe that the Rockets can take this series, and I think Game One, I would absolutely take the Rockets.
Yeah, and game one will happen on 4:20 Easter on Sunday, 8:30 p.m. But yeah, we're not going to get a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just obviously, you're on the western side of this bracket, and you are playing against a team that is all the way out there in San Francisco. So they're putting them in that late slot, 8:30 p.m. for game one on TNT, 8:30 p.m. for game two Wednesday on TNT. You do get an ABC late start on Saturday at 7:30. And then next Monday, which is not this upcoming Monday, but the Monday afterwards, right, the 28th, you'll get a 9 p.m. start.
Here we go.
On TNT. And
here
then after
we go
that,
with the NBA scheduling.
You're getting a lot of late games. But what is nice,
and then Memorial Day weekend, Game 7 if necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to go all the way there because we don't have that. But I just wanted to point to the fact that you're going to be late. It's going to be a lot of late starts. Yeah. So go ahead and get yourself ready for that, get your coffee if you need to. But the nice thing about it is if you are so inclined and you don't want to hear Reggie Miller talk all this time, which I would understand, you have the opportunity to watch through the first round, Space City Home Network. Regional broadcasts continue through the first round and then cease after
that.
I like that.
Yeah. Reggie Miller. Reminds me of the 1984.
Can we get that one more time? Because that was a 5-second call that basically put the game out of reach for the Memphis Grizzlies as they were trying to claw back a third time in that 7-8 play-in game. Ultimately, the Warriors win. Was it 126-118, I believe, was the final. The Warriors get the victory. But this was they had an opportunity to try and get the ball in. I think it was a 3-point game at this point. But they couldn't get the ball in, and this is what it sounded like.
To get it back. And he gets it out to Morant. 5 seconds. 5-second violation. They could not inbound.
5 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Calamity.
Don't even get a look at it. Very reminiscent of that Florida-Houston game. You don't even get a look at it.
It really wasn't. It really wasn't.
I was not looking at that. And that remind me of the Houston-Florida game.
Not even remotely. Other than, I mean, he did say they didn't get a shot off, but that happens a lot.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the dribble and you're standing there trying to get somebody else to pick up the ball and all that. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that happens a lot where a turnover or something like that. No, it was not like the Houston
wasn't close
the game.
No, it wasn't. But that meant that you get the Warriors. Somebody said, why is there like almost a week between each game? It's not a week. It's 3 days. But it's also because like the
sometimes it feels like a week.
It does feel like
wait till you get to the finals.
That's what I'm saying.
It'd be one game a week.
Yeah. But the first round is because there's a ton of games and they're trying to get as many of them visible on TV as opposed without having having as little overlap as possible.
Yeah.
I imagine there. All right. People are really getting on me about this false start. And you know what? It's fair. It was a really bad false start. So what I'm going to do is $1 for each offense, which means I already owe $3. That's going our Texas.
Not only a false start, but you took off and ran the play.
He was all the way downfield.
Yeah.
I'm open.
You know how some people might flinch and then you'd be like, oh, that's a false start.
Yeah.
Reggie got up out the 3-point stance and he went on to block the line.
Well, you know, I'm going to fire off the line. You know what I mean? I'm not going to half ass my
He's
start.
He's waving his arms. I'm open.
You mean the play is dead? You know? I'm going to try and really go after this. All right. You have that. Day baseball right around the corner for your Astros. Ronel Blanco is on the mound versus Steven Matz. of the Cardinals in a getaway game. Yordan has the day off after he played left field yesterday, and it was obviously a short turnaround night to early afternoon. So you'll have Altuve, Peña, Paredes hitting third, Walker, Yainer Diaz, Brendan Rodgers back at second.
Not a baby.
And your outfield is interesting because it'll be Jake Myers in center, batting eighth, or batting seventh, rather. Cam Smith in right, batting eighth. And then Chaz McCormick, batting ninth in left field.
I kind of like it. Get McCormick back in the lineup. And people are, kind of complaining about, well, at least some that I've seen, Yordan having to sit again. That's life. That's life with Yordan right now.
Yeah. I think this is just, you got to keep him healthy. You got to keep him good. And I think that it makes sense, especially if you played him in left, give him a planned day off and let him get back after it in the next series. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the Astros. Hopefully they can get another win there and pull themselves that much closer to being 500 in an AL West where I think the Rangers got a win yesterday in the AL West, but it's still not opening up in a big way, which you're very thankful for. The Rangers are kind of funny because they still have a minus 15 run differential, which is tied for the Athletics, who have the worst record in the AL. They're separated by three games, I guess, in the standings, that both of them. And the Rangers are still like 10-7, even though they probably have no business actually being that. But yeah, we'll see what it looks like for the Astros today, see if they can pull themselves a little bit closer. Nico Iamaleava.
Out of baby.
Is the quarterback who is in the transfer portal after trying to shake down Tennessee for some more NIL money. It seems like that was even worse advice or decision-making than we had previously thought. He's been in the transfer portal trying to negotiate the place that he ends up next. And you remember we found out that UNC, Bill Belichick, was like, nah, I'm good on that. They pulled out of the running, although they seemed to have some interest. Mm-hmm. The one that really caught my attention was Tulane.
Yep.
Tulane pulled out of the running yesterday, and there was a little bit of reporting that pointed to the idea that Tulane actually put together what was deemed, quote, an impressive offer. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that actually means, but I have to take
it's in the millions.
Word for the reporting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But they said that they got too much back and forth between Nico's camp and the coaching staff. Tulane wanted to get a deal done quickly. Obviously, that back and forth wasn't allowing it, so they pulled out. But, like, if that's what's happening here, and it seems like his dad is probably a big factor in the Uncle Dennis
bingo,
way, in the,
bingo,
LeVar Ball way in some ways, like, this is going to be even worse than we previously thought, because you're already looking at a dude who was not an incredibly impressive quarterback. Mm-hmm. The number's kind of high on what you would need to shell out for him through your NIL collective. And it's unpleasant to try and get the deal done and to work with them. Mm-hmm. This feels like you're putting yourself in a very, very bad circumstance.
Yeah, the first part is totally what I was thinking as well. And it's been reported, Daddy is getting far too involved here. But the second thing, I still don't mind him betting on himself, so to speak. I think most people should try to, it's one of the things bet on yourself. You've heard me say it, Figgy, and... But the problem with betting on yourself is sometimes you lose.
Well, you also you also want to make good bets, right?
That's
it seems
like
you put together a 17-leg parlay here, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta remember, if you're trying to get another job to make more money, you gotta make sure you got that job before you quit your previous job.
That's a great point. Yeah. He should have known more. Yeah.
Now on three, I think the collegiate website that kind of covers these things, I saw that they have him kind of projected as like a $1 million guy, which is less than the money that he was reportedly getting in his previous situation.
It was two, half as much, right?
Although was that two over 4 years?
Maybe, but still, if that's the case, if it was one over 4 years or one per year, whatever it is, it's less. It's less.
Yeah, but there's Nico trying to find his way to another place. I thought about it also. Tulane is not in like a super high perspective. And obviously he had to play outside of the SEC. SEC has a rule that where you can't transfer in conference there. Like how far down does this go when you talk about programs?
I said it yesterday. Every university in this country has a lot of really rich people. And if you can gather them and put the money together, Stephen F. Austin, Sam Houston, all these schools have a lot of rich alums that love sports.
You got Nico playing in Huntsville?
At this point, I mean, whoever can put the deal together.
And for less money.
Well, he might have to. Well, he's probably going to have to take less money now. But no, man.
They're going to have to swallow their pride.
I was sharing some of the numbers from, what was it, Eastern Michigan. You know, like there are a lot of people. Every school here has people with money. A lot of rich alums. You can put it, if you organize it right, motivate it right, you can put people together to raise the money for players.
Well, I guess. This is probably like a somewhat of a self-fulfilling situation because I was like, how bad of a look is it for the players ultimately if they do get to a place of collective bargaining or what have you, right? That your first major holdout story is one. Well, I guess the UNLV was also in there, but this one feels like this one really grabbed a level of attention that that one didn't quite reach up to. But is a guy in Nico who it's panned out in this way? Like, Does that harm, do you think, future negotiations or future instances of players trying to utilize the strength that they have to garner more wages?
I really don't think so because we're seeing thousands in basketball.
It's all
like there's more than 1,000 players that enter the transfer. Did you know that? The transfer portal in basketball?
Dude, it is
more than 1,000 players. So, yes. I mean, so no is my answer to that question, but players are always going to be able to find a little more. The problem with him is, I mentioned, you know, when you bet on yourself, sometimes you lose. He's not that good to command that money.
Yeah, that's fair. And you you're right, 2A1. You can transfer inside the SC if you get that waiver sign.
Right.
But,
didn't they offer Quinn Ewers $6 million a year?
I don't know. The tough thing about all this NIL stuff is that there's no reporting.
But what I'm saying, he's good.
No, yes, I hear you.
He can command that.
Well, fair enough. He can command that.
Good for college.
There we go. But yeah, the tough thing with the NIL thing, and I've always been hesitant on the numbers that get thrown out there just because there's no centralized reporting mechanism. So people can say that, we've come to some level of contract for this number. And there's not really anything verifying or backing that up. So sometimes you would get, sometimes just scuttlebutt. So like, well, this guy is getting paid $5 million. Is he?
Yeah.
Like, maybe. It is possible, but also, what verification do we have of any of this? So I think the world, it again, speaks to the idea that the NCAA really needs to clean up all of the NIL world and how all of these things are falling down and falling together. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. From one Nico, I was going to talk about the other Nico shooting himself into you-know-what, but I guess we'll let that one ride for a little bit. But coming up next, today, Nick Caserio meets with the media to kind of get his pre-NFL draft press conference in the books. Let's get that next.